Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation keeps rolling on here on this season finale edition of Cougar Nation. We held it down during football and men's basketball. Let's just say the basketball season gave us a little more highs than than the football season did this past fall. But still, we'll be counting down the days till BYU football returns, and we'll be back in August after tonight's edition of Cougar Nation, which you can subscribe to on the podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. And this show has been fun this year because it's for you, Cougar Nation. 801-575-8255. We take your phone calls and get the opinions of you, Cougar Nation, and what you feel about these BYU teams, particularly tonight, BYU basketball. Let's get out to the phone line. Otto from Mill Creek. Otto, what do you feel like this BYU team needs moving forward to get back to March Madness next season?
They need a bruiser like Karl Malone.
You know what? If they had anything close to Karl Malone, they would be outstanding. They would be the best team in the Big 12 if they had the mailman.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I used to work for this outfit back in 1984. There's a young man who was working there, too, and he was part of this support group for the Utah Jazz. I said, what's wrong with the Jazz is they need to draft a bruiser. So who did they draft? Karl Malone from Louisiana Tech. And as the saying goes, the rest is history. The Foose, he's 6'6". He's a bruiser, but he's getting a foul trouble going up against those guys who are 6'9", 6'10", and 11. That's why when he gets foul trouble, what you do has to sit on the bench for a while. Right? So BYU needs to get a bruiser who's not afraid to throw his weight around.
Thanks for the call, Otto. Appreciate it. I disagree with that take, personally speaking, because, as he mentioned, they've got the bruiser in Foose. I feel like, look, BYU has a style of play that I love. I love up-tempo basketball, and I love shooting the three. And the three-point shot, Mitch, is not what eliminated them from the tournament. What eliminated from the tournament was unable to execute in key moments and their inability to get offense in tight situations. But Foose, he was 4-12 in that game. Like, he's a bruiser and he had great games. That was not one of Foose's best games. But if you have too many guys to where you're relying on the low post all the time, I don't think that's a winning formula for BYU. I think what they have is a really good foundation, and now you just need to supplement that. They needed more playmaking more than they needed more low post scoring, in my opinion.
That's fair. And you know what? I do think I love the style, the offense that Mark Pope wants to continue running with this BYU program, but I will say they need to improve shooting the three. In Big 12 play this year, they were 32.6% shooting the three. That was good for ninth in the Big 12. You compare that to Mark Pope's first year, they were 41% that season, the number one three-point shooting team in America, despite the attempts. They just had the pure percentage. And that's where I want to see BYU improve, because you know the volume is going to be there. They're going to get off, 25, 30 threes per game. That's who they are, and that's what they're going to be, and I love that. But I want to see that percentage go up, because the physicality, to Otto's point, the physicality of the Big 12 did affect their three-point shooting once they got into league play. And then by the postseason, it seemed like a little bit of a tired group. And you do wonder, too, Matt, the struggles that the Big 12 had in the opening weekend of March Madness, was it so much of a gauntlet in the Big 12 that these teams were just exhausted? It might be just a theory, but I do wonder that, too, because there were no nights off in the Big 12 conference, and you wonder if it was just these legs of these teams were gassed by season's end.
I'll tell you what, too. I think this team could use another 7-footer, not in terms of a low-post scoring threat, but I feel like they didn't have great low-post shot blocking and defense. And that might not be a little fair, considering Khalifa wasn't healthy. That's something we got to remember, too.
Yes.
If he's fully healthy and he's in shape, because he was never in shape because his knee didn't allow him to get in shape. He basically played in the games. You went to a lot of the practices, Mitch. How often did Ali Khalifa practice?
very rare that he practiced this season, and you just kind of looked past it because the offense was, you know, rolling and they were winning games. But in retrospect, you look at that and go, you know, what can Ali Khalifa do maybe next year as with a healthy knee, with a little bit better shape? Because he was very candid that he was not in game shape this year.
Yeah, and it seemed that way, maybe more so with the Ramadan fasting and not having the energy from not eating as much at the end of the year. But if he's healthy, that's another big body. And then maybe you use a portal opportunity to go grab another 7-footer that can play defense and be physical. I don't want a duplication of Foose's skills. That's the thing. I want Foose to thrive in that role. The other thing, too, that maybe you can upgrade if there's an opportunity, could you get a little more length at the 3-4 combination? I know you have it with Jackson and Noah, but when you wanted to go small with Trevin Nell, Dallin Hall, Spencer Johnson, you were on the smaller end. Is there a 6'8", 6'9", 3-and-D guy that can give you some athleticism? Think of Gideon George in years past to where you have some versatility with the lineups in that regard, because it felt like you either went big or you went small. There wasn't a lot of options in the middle in terms of length.
That would be a huge upgrade for BYU, and I think that's got to be an area of focus. And you know what? Personally, I want to see Mark Pope go into the portal and get some mid-major, maybe D2, guys that are looking to move up a level. I don't want the power six, you know, wandering,
yes,
hasn't found a role, hasn't found his footing in college basketball. I want some elite mid-major guy that wants a bigger stage, because I feel like as we're getting more intel on the portal, those guys just seem to provide that instant spark that you're looking for. When you're getting the third school in 4 years guy, for every Jackson Robinson, there's a bunch of dudes that just don't pan out and they don't work.
Yeah, there's a lot more Seneca Knights than Jackson Robinson.
Sure.
When you're talking third and fourth year. And the thing that I love too, and this is what I love in the tournament, there's guys that can hit the three. Like, maybe go grab one other guard. I think BYU set a guard, but if you want to grab one more guy, grab a specialty three-point shooter that can up that percentage and put some pressure on the Trevin Nells and the others to have to work and earn their spot. I like that a lot, Mitch, and that works really well in college football too. BYU's had success with it. A.J. Vong-Pachon comes to mind. Eddie Heckard. Like, go find. The thing I love about those type of guys too, Mitch, I think it's a great point, is they're going to be good locker room guys. They're transferring for the right reasons. They want to play on a bigger stage. It's not about the bag. It's not about me. They want to win and do it at a higher level. Those guys can work. You can integrate those guys with your existing guys.
And with BYU's roster next year, there's 7 guys that are untouchables. Everywhere else, if you can possibly upgrade, and I know Mark Pope is focusing on roster retention, and I totally understand that, because you want to have that chemistry continuing, and that's what kind of helped BYU in the non-conference to get off to that fast start while many teams were retooling and working out the kinks with transfers. But there's 7 guys to me that you build around this program, and that includes, you know, Jackson Robinson, if he wants to return, Foose Traore. I feel like Dawson Baker falls in that mold, because I feel like that guy has so much ability and can be a star at BYU. Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall, and then Colin Chandler and Isaac Davis. And if everyone else, you know, it's not that to knock on anyone else, but to me, if you can level up the talent, I'm considering that those moves if you're Mark Pope, because you want to take a step forward. You don't want to just say, hey, 23-11, fifth place in the Big 12 is good enough. Like, next year in the Big 12, it's a 16-team league. Arizona's going to join the conference too. Colorado's going to join. Utah, your rival, is going to join. And I don't think Utah's a threat, but still, rivalry games, BYU lost to those guys in the Huntsman Center with this good BYU team. So you want to keep leveling up. And to me, that 7 is your core, and you continue to build around it. And hopefully, you know, the Noah Watermans, the Trevin Nells, everyone else is around that and working around that. But those, to me, are the top 7 moving forward into next year, and then you build around them.
Mitch, let's get to our final what's trending of the 2023-24 season.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
I'll start things off, Mitch. Trending down for me is just the physicality. We saw it take a toll. That's something they got to work on and address in the offseason. Got to be more physical against some of these teams that want to rough you up. If you have that ability to play a physical style of ball to complement the up-and-down three-point shooting, I think that would help BYU next year. What about you?
The starting five, the primary starting five from this past season, you got to imagine there's going to be a little bit of shuffling there. Spencer Johnson, he's moving on. His eligibility is exhausted. What happens with Trevin Nell? You know, Trevin Nell is a veteran, and, you know, he's expected to be back. He's part of an MBA program at BYU. Does he come off the bench next year? Is he staying in the starting lineup? What does BYU do there? It's a delicate deal, and I know Mark Pope has said all the right things about this program has just really embraced its role, but I got to imagine any basketball player wants to start. Like, I've never understood that all. I want to be the seventh guy, and I'm cool with that. Like, sure, you want to win, but you want to start, man. Like, you want to be at this level, you want to be a starting five guy. So how does that get handled? Where does Noah Waterman sit in this rotation? So I just feel like that starting five that closed out the season, it was the most successful group, but by season's end, they were kind of struggling, and they left the door open for Mark Pope to say, you know what, I got to reevaluate this thing.
Trending up for me, experience, if you can return all those guys we discussed. They're all going to be a year older, more experienced. They've got tournament, a bad taste of the tournament in their mouth, which is kind of a good thing in terms of motivation for next year. If you roll it back, you've tasted it. You know what it takes to get there. Can you level up to win a couple games in the tournament? So I like the experience of this group heading into next season.
Trending up for me is BYU established themselves as a solid Big 12 team. Are they elite? No, but they're going to be solid, and they're going to be a tough out, and we expected that the Marriott Center was going to be one of the best venues in the Big 12. They established that in year one. That's going to give BYU a great chance once again to win a lot of ball games and get back to March Madness.
Let's take our last break. If you want to get in a call before we end the season finale of the 23-24 debut season of Cougar Nation, you got to do so quickly. 801-575-8255. What gives you hope? BYU can return to the dance next season. And also maybe, what would you like the starting lineup to look like next year as well? 801-575-8255. Back after this.